Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member by Avram Goldhar, and today Masechus Ksubas Daf Lamed Aleph, the third parak, Eilin Na'aros. The Zichu Masechus Ksubas program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachazachas Torah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Chista said, Rav Nechunya ben Akana agrees, Begon of Chelbo Shel Chaver of Achalo, in the case of one who steals his friend's chayov and eats it, that he's chay for stealing the chayov even though he's chay of karas for eating it. Shekvan he's chay begneva kodim shiyavu ide yisra chayov, because he was already chay for the theft before he came to the isra against eating it. The Gemara suggests that Rav Chista disagrees with Rabbi Avin, who said, Hazor chayetz metchilos arba asov arba, that one who shoots an arrow in Rosh Yusuf Rabin from the beginning of a four-armer stretch until the end of the four-armer stretch, and the arrow tears someone's silk as it travels, is pater. Shakira tzorach hanachihi, because the akira of the arrow is a prerequisite of its hanacha. That is, the acts are seen to occur simultaneously, since the akira inevitably results in the hanacha. So too, the lifting of the chalav should be seen as a prerequisite of its eating. The Gemara answers that the cases are not comparable. In the case of the arrow, it's impossible to have a hanocha without the akira, and therefore the akira is considered the beginning of the act of transferring, whereas in the chayov case, one could bend down and eat it. Alternatively, in the arrow case, once he shoots the arrow, he cannot bring it back, whereas with the chayov, he can return it after he lifts it up. Point number two, Rabbi Vivar Abai challenged Rabbi Avin's ruling from a braisa that taught, Hagon of Kis B'Shabbos Chayv, Shekvar Nischayv B'Gneva Kodim Shiyavo De Yisr Skila. One who steals a purse on Shabbos from someone's house and then takes it into Rosh Yusuf Rabin is chayev to pay for the stolen purse, even though he's also chayev for the death penalty for Chilul Shabbos, for he has already become chayev for theft before he became chayev for stoning. But if he dragged the purse out, he would be pater from payment, since the transgressing of Shabbos and theft happen at once. We see from the first case that he's chayev for stealing when he picks up the purse. Why not say hagbat tzorach hotzai? The lifting of the purse is a prerequisite for the act of transferring. After the first couple explanations are rejected, the Gemara answers that the Tana of the Braisa is Ben Azai, who says, Mahalach ka'omidami, that walking is equivalent to standing. Rashi explains that Ben Azai holds that each step one takes is an akira and a hanacha, so that the last step he took before leaving the house was the akira, for which he was chayv chil Shabbos, not the earlier step he took when he stole the purse. And point three, the Gemara analyzes the case where the thief dragged the purse and asks where he dragged it to. If it was to Rosh Yusuf Rabim, it would be transgressing Chilul Shabbos, but not theft. As Rashi explains, the kinyan of Mashicha, pulling, does not take effect in Rosh Yusuf Rabim. If he dragged it into Rosh Yusuf Yachid, he'd be chayav for theft, but not Chilul Shabbos. Rav Ashi says that the cases where he pulled it into Rosh Yusuf Rabim and Kagon, Shetzeref Yadu Lamata L'Mishlosh Bekibul, in a case where the thief brought his other hand close to the ground, below the height of three tefachim, and received the purse in that hand where it came to rest. This is in accordance with Rabbi, who holds Yadu Shel Adam Chashuvelo, Ka'arba Al-Arba. A person's hand is considered as an area of 4x4 tefachim. Rashi explains that just like a hand is considered Chashuv for Hilchos Shabbos as a separate Rishus for Hanacha, so to hear with regard to a kinyan, the hand is considered a separate domain, and it is as if the thief lifted his hand three tefachim above the ground. The Gemara brings alternative explanations. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Chista said, Rav Nechunya ben Akana agrees, Begon of Chelbo Shel Chaver of Achalo, in the case of one who steals his friend's chayov and eats it, that he's chay for stealing the chayov, even though he's chay of karas for eating it. Shekvan he's chay begneva kodim shiyavo lidei yisr chayov, because he was already chay for the theft before he came to the isr against eating it. The Gemara suggests that Rav Chista disagrees with Rabbi Avin, who said, Hazor chetz metchilos arba asov arba, that one who shoots an arrow in Rosh Yusuf Rabin from the beginning of a four-armer stretch until the end of the four-armer stretch, and the arrow tears someone's silk as it travels, is pater. Shakira tzorach hanachihi, because the akira of the arrow is a prerequisite of its hanacha. That is, the acts are seen to occur simultaneously, since the akira inevitably results in the hanacha. So too, the lifting of the chalav should be seen as a prerequisite of its eating. The Gemara answers that the cases are not comparable. In the case of the arrow, it's impossible to have a hanocha without the akira, and therefore the akira is considered the beginning of the act of transferring, whereas in the chayov case, one could bend down and eat it. Alternatively, in the arrow case, once he shoots the arrow, he cannot bring it back, whereas with the chayov, he can return it after he lifts it up. Point number two, Rabbi Vivar Abai challenged Rabbi Avin's ruling from a braisa that taught, Hagon of Kis B'Shabbos Chayv, Shekvar Nischayv B'Gneva Kodim Shiyavo De Yisr Skila. One who steals a purse on Shabbos from someone's house and then takes it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin is chayev to pay for the stolen purse, even though he's also chayev for the death penalty for Chilul Shabbos, for he has already become chayev for theft before he became chayev for stoning. But if he dragged the purse out, he would be patur from payment, since the transgressing of Shabbos and theft happen at once. We see from the first case that he's chayev for stealing when he picks up the purse. Why not say hagbatz or chotzai? The lifting of the purse is a prerequisite for the act of transferring. After the first couple explanations are rejected, the Gemara answers that the Tana of the Braisa is Ben Azai, who says, Mahalach ka'omidami, that walking is equivalent to standing. Rashi explains that Ben Azai holds that each step one takes is an akira and a hanacha, so that the last step he took before leaving the house was the akira, for which he was chayv chil Shabbos, not the earlier step he took when he stole the purse. And point with the Gemara analyzes the case where the thief dragged the purse and asks where he dragged it to. If it was to El Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it would be transgressing Chilul Shabbos, but not theft. As Rashi explains, the kinyan of Mashicha, pulling, does not take effect in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. If he dragged it into Rosh Hashanah Yachid, he'd be chayav for theft, but not Chilul Shabbos. Rav Ashi says that the cases where he pulled it into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and Kagon, Shetzeref Yadu Lamatu L'Mishlosh V'Kibul, in a case where the thief brought his other hand close to the ground, below the height of three tefachim, and received the purse in that hand where it came to rest. This is in accordance with Rabbi, who holds Yadu Shel Adam Chashuvelo, Ka'arba Al-Arba. A person's hand is considered as an area of 4x4 tefachim. Rashi explains that just like a hand is considered Chashuv for Hilchos Shabbos as a separate Rishus for Hanocha, so to hear with regard to a kinyan, the hand is considered a separate domain, and it is as if the thief lifted his hand three tefachim above the ground. The Gemara brings alternative explanations. All right, so now we go to our Simur Daf Lamed Aleph, and it's associated with the word law. We use a judge to make it more distinct. So here goes. The judge watched the prosecutor demonstrate how the thief bent down to eat a piece of stolen chalev while shooting an arrow into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that tore through a sheet, along with footage of his stealing a purse on Shabbos and taking small steps through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, while the defendant sat silently keeping his large 4x4 hands low to the ground. Once again, in slow motion. The judge, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Aleph. The judge watched the prosecutor demonstrate how the thief bent down to eat a piece of stolen chalev while shooting an arrow into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that tore through a sheet, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that the case of stealing chalev and eating it and shooting an arrow dalad amos through a silk are not comparable. In the case of the arrow, it's impossible to have a hanocha without the akira, and therefore the akira is considered the beginning of the act of transferring, whereas in the chalev case, one could bend down and eat it. Alternatively, in the arrow case, once he shoots the arrow, he cannot bring it back, whereas with the chalev, he can return it after he lifts it up. So the judge watched the prosecutor demonstrate how the thief bent down to eat a piece of stolen chalev while shooting an arrow into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that tore through a sheet, along with footage of his stealing a purse on Shabbos and taking small steps to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which reminds us of Braisa taught that one who steals a purse on Shabbos from someone's house and then takes it into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is chayev to pay for the stolen purse, even though he's also chayev for the death penalty for Chilul Shabbos, for he's already become chayev for theft before he became chayev for stoning. We do not say hagbatz or chotzai. The lifting of the purse is a prerequisite for the act of transferring, for the Tana of the Braisa is Ben Azai, who says, Mahalach ka'omidami, that walking is equivalent to standing. Rashi explains that Ben Azai holds that each step one takes is an akira and a hanocha, so that the last step he took before leaving the house was the akira for which he was chayev chil Shabbos, not the earlier step he took when he stole the purse. So the judge watched the prosecutor demonstrate how the thief bent down to eat a piece of stolen chalev while shooting an arrow into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that tore through a sheet, along with footage of his stealing a purse on Shabbos and taking small steps to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, while the defendant sat silently, keeping his large 4x4 hands low to the ground. Which reminds us, the Gemara clarifies that in the case where the thief dragged the purse, he pulled it into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and Kagon Shetzir of Yadu Lamatim Shloshev Kibla. It's where the thief brought his other hand close to the ground below the height of three tefachim and received the purse in that hand where it came to rest. This is in accordance with Rabbi, who holds Yadu Shel Adam Chashuvelo Ka'arba Al-Arba. A person's hand is considered as an area 4x4 tefachim. Rashi explains that just like a hand is considered chashuv for Hilchos Shabbos as a separate rishus for hanacha, so too here with regard to a kinyan. The hand is considered a separate rishus, and it's as if the thief lifted his hand three tefachim above the ground. So once again, the judge watched the prosecutor demonstrate how the thief bent down to eat a piece of stolen chalev while shooting an arrow into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that tore through a sheet, along with footage of his stealing a purse on Shabbos and taking small steps to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, while the defendant sat silently, keeping his large 4x4 hands low to the ground. All right, now it's time for four blah ba chazara. Dav chav zayin. So the sim dav chav zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The marauding kazoo blowing idol worshippers kazoo. That must mean we're in dav chav zayin. The marauding kazoo-blowing idol worshippers who didn't have time during war to snatch new kazoos from open barrels. Which reminds the next mission states, Ir shekvashu akarkom, concerning a city conquered by a siege army, kol kohanu shenim sebasocha besulos, all wives of kohanim within the city are unfit for the husbands, for we fear that they were violated by the soldiers. Gemara contrasts this mishnah with the mishnah of Avodah Zarah that teaches that during wartime, open barrels are permitted, lefisha ein panai lanasech, because the marauding troops do not have time to pour libations. This seems to indicate that during war, the soldiers do not have time for other activities. So why then are they suspected of violating the woman? Ramari said, libo yesh panai lanasech ein panai. To engage in relations, they have time, but they don't have time to pour libations. So the marauding kazoo-blowing idol worshippers who didn't have time during war to snatch new kazoos from open barrels didn't notice the single woman crouching in the small hiding place with her kazoo. Which reminds Rav Yehuda bar Avin said in the name of Yitzchak bar Ashian, if there exists in the city one single hiding place, it saves all the wives of Kohanim from the decree of separating from their husbands. We assume they hid there and were not violated. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, "Ein machazek es ela achas mahu? What's the halacha if the hiding place can only hold one person?" The Gemara rejects the comparison of this case to one where there are two paths, where one was definitely tameh and the other was tahor, and two people walked down the different paths and then touched tahor food, saying that in the path case, one of the paths was certainly tameh, but here, who's to say that any of the women were actually violated? So the marauding kazoo-blowing idol worshippers, who didn't have time during war to snatch new kazoos from open barrels, didn't notice a single woman crouching in the small hiding place with her kazoo, but her shivcha looking through the window did. Which reminds us, the Mishnah had stated regarding wives of Kohanim in a besieged city, but if they have Edim who testify that they were not violated, even if the witness is an Eved or a Shivcha, they're believed. And we have a question whether that means that also her Shivcha is believed. Dav Chav Ches, so the symbol Dav Chav Ches is a strong man. So here goes. The strong man, that must mean we're on Dav Chav Ches. The strong man who made his ex-wife move out of the chatzir after he divorced her, which reminds us, it was taught in a brayse, if one divorces his wife, she should not remarry and live in his neighborhood. Rashi explains that since she recognizes his hints and gestures, she might come to sin with him. The Gemara asks who is displaced by whom in a case where they each owned a home in the courtyard. The Gemara answers that she is displaced, for we learn from a pasuk, Tiltui de gavra kashim de'isasa, the wandering of a man is a greater hardship than the wandering of a woman. So the strong man who made his ex-wife move out of the chatzir after he divorced her, for not believing he could remember his father's rebbe's and brother's signatures, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ve'on ne'aman v'hayim b'godlon mashuro b'kodnam, and these are trusted to testify during their adulthood regarding what they saw when they were minors, such as the handwriting on the contract is the handwriting of my father, or of my rebbe, or my brother. The Gemara teaches that it was necessary for the Mishnah to mention all three cases. So the strong man who made his ex-wife move out of the chatzir after he divorced her, for not believing he could remember his father's rebbe's and brother's signatures, helped his family perform a katzatza by breaking open a barrel of fruit with his bare hands. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brayse in Namanatino Kolomar, Shalchanu Baksatso Shalbasponi Laponi, and an adult is trusted to testify regarding what he saw as a child, that we ate it from the katsatsa distributed upon the marriage of the daughter Poni to Poni. It was taught in another brayse that a katsatsa was done if one of the brothers of a family marries a woman who is unfit for him, such as a mamzeris, and involves the family breaking a barrel of fruit open in the town square. Dav Chav Tes. So the simmer Dav Chav Tes is a cot. So here goes. The Na'ara sitting on a cot. Cot? That must mean we're in Dav Chav Tes. The Na'ara sitting on a cot counting her knas money, and please, she was no longer a katana, which reminds us. The opening mission of the third parak states, Eil Na'aros Sheishan Knas. These are the Na'aros who are entitled to receive the fine when they're violated, and the mission proceeds to list three groups. The Gemara says that the mission's use of the word Na'ara implies that only she is entitled to the fine, but a katana is not, and says the Tana is Rabbi Meir, who holds. A katana from the time she's 1 day old until she grows 2 Sa'aros, Yesh La Mecher Ve'ein La Knas. She is subject to sale by her father, but is not entitled to Knas if she's violated or seduced. And from the time she grows 2 Sa'aros until she becomes a Bogeris, Yesh La Knas Ve'ein La Mecher. She is entitled to the Knas, but is not subject to sale. So the Na'ara is sitting on a cot counting her knas money, and pleased she was no longer a katana, chose not to sit next to the kusis and the issacharis on the cots with sheets embroidered with the words Na'ara and Basua 3 times, which reminds us, among the women the Mishnah listed that received the knas are mamzeris, anasina, a kusis, as well as those prohibited to him, as an issacharis, such as his sister, his father's sister, his mother's sister, or his wife's sister. Then we're asked why these women are eligible for kenas when the pasuk says in the parsha, "V'lo siyel lo isha, and she shall be to him a wife," which implies isha harui lo. She must be a woman that is fit for him to marry, which these women are not. Rish Lakish said it's learned from the Torah, stating three times na'ara, na'ara, ha-na'ara, and Rav Papa says a similar answer, but he uses the three expressions of basula, basulos, ha-basulos mentioned in the parsha of the Mefate. So the Na'ara is sitting on a cot counting her knas money, and please, she was no longer a katana, chose not to sit next to the kusis and the isakaris on the cots with sheets embroidered with the words Na'ara and Basua three times, because as a mamzera, she was eligible for the knas, even according to the opinion that requires the possibility of being his wife. Which reminds us, given that the Mishnah states that women who are unfit for marriage receive a kenas, the Gemara states that the Mishnah serves to exclude the opinion of the Tana, the following brisa, which taught, "Velos yeli isha, and she shall be to him a wife." Shimon HaTimni says this teaches the kenas only applies to a isha sheish b'havai, a woman who has the possibility of being his wife, which Rashi explains is a woman where Ketushin's toface takes effect. Rabbi Shimon Manasseh says it applies to an isha harui l'kaima, a woman who is fit to remain his wife. Rabbi Zera said the nafkamina between them is a mamzeris and an asina. Daf Lamed, so the Simmer Daf Lamed is a malamed, and we use a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe, Rebbe, that must mean we're a Daf Lamed, malamed. The Rebbe was busy planning his class trip to the jungle, which he claimed would be safe and ason free. Which reminds us, the Gemara notes that our Mishnah, which teaches that the violator must pay a kenas to a woman whose asutuma as an isakaris, is also coming to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanya. For it was taught in a brayse, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanya would treat Yom Kippur like Shabbos in terms of monetary payments, just as one is mechal Shabbos who commits an act at the same time is mischay ben nafshu pater min hatashlumim. He's chayv to pay with his life and is pater from payment. So too the same applies if one desecrates Yom Kippur, which is a chi of karis, and is chayv a monetary liability at the same time. He's only chayv karis and not payment. Abai says Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana's reason is the word ason, fatality, is said about the death at the hand of man, meaning death by Beis Din, and ason is mentioned with regard to death by heaven. This is a reference to Yaakov telling his sons that he refuses to let Binyamin go to Mitzrayim, lest an ason, a fatality, occurs. So the Rebbe was busy planning his class trip to the jungle, which he claimed would be safe and ason free. Received piles of notes from parents saying their sons were home with colds and fever after they heard about a previous tour where one person was trampled by an elephant. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, Kol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim pachim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for sicknesses brought on by cold and heat. It was also taught from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, even though the Sanhedrin ceased, the four types of capital punishment did not, which the Gemara clarifies means that the din arba misas lo batu, the equivalent punishment of the four types of execution, has not ceased. For example, one who's chayv skila, stoning, either falls from a roof or is trampled by a wild beast. So the Rebbe was busy planning his class trip to the jungle, which he claimed would be safe and ason free. Received piles of notes from parents saying their sons were home with colds and fever after they heard about the previous tour where one person was trampled by an elephant and another had truma stuffed down his throat by the natives. Which reminds us, Rava brings an alternative source, Rabbi Nochanim ben Akana, from the Parsha Moloch, which compares karis to capital punishment. This differs from Abai's Pshat, where the word asun includes lesser types of death, such as misis bidei shamayim, death by heaven. The Gemara says a nafka mina between them is azar, that a truma, where the penalty is misis bidei shamayim. According to Abai, he's pater from paying for the truma, but according to Rabbi, he's chayiv. When the Gemara questions this case, given that he was already chayiv for stealing it from the moment he picked the truma up before he ate it, the Gemara concludes the case is shetachav lo chaver otok beis abliya, where his friend thrusts the truma into his throat and the person can get it out with difficulty. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which stuff did we learn? Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim umpachim, and that trampling today by an animal is a form of skila. That's on Daf Lamed. Good. Number 2, which of the when a man is believed when he testifies that he remembers from his childhood his father's rebbe's or brother's handwriting? That's on Daf Chaf Ches. Good. Number 3, which of the one that the gun of his chai for stealing a person dragging in Jerusha's rabim because he held his other hand low to the ground to take it, and hands are considered like Roshus of Dal by Dal Tfachim? That's on Daf Lamed Olive. Good. Number 4, which stuff you have a question whether a woman's shivcha can testify that she wasn't violated? That's on Daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 5, which of the one the difference in the cases of stealing chalev and eating it and shooting an arrow Dalad Amos through a silk? That's on Daf Lamed Olive. Good. Number 6, which stuff the one according to Shimon and Timni, the woman must be fitting to be his wife to receive a kenas, and according to Rabbi Shimon and Manasseh, she must be fitting to remain his wife? That's on Daf Chavtes. Good, number seven. Which of the women that Abai brings word asun as Rabbi Nechunya's source that one is pater from tashuim when a chi of kars is done at the same time? That's on Daf. Lamed. Good, number eight. Which of the women that one is chai for stealing a purse on Shabbos and carrying it out because according to Ben Azai, omed k'mahalach dami? That's on Daf. Good, number nine. Which deputy when Rabbi Meir is the Tana who holds that a Na'ara is entitled to a Kanas, not a Katana? That's on Daf. Chavtes. Good, and number ten. Which deputy when that the Nafkamina between Abai and Rav's source for Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is when Azar eats Truma that was shoved in his throat? That's on Daf. Lamed. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.